Welcome to Spiel Chicago, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of storefront theater in Chicago. My name is Smyra Yan, and this week we'll be talking about burlesque. Listeners, I have a lot of feelings about burlesque. When I moved to the city as a stage manager, it was the first paid theater work I'd ever done. It connected me with people who are now some of my best friends, and some of the most personally inspiring feminist performances I've ever seen have been burlesque numbers. With the revival of neo-burlesque in the early 2000s, the city of Chicago has seen an absolute explosion in the number of artists and companies putting up cabarets in theaters all over the city, which is great. Except that now that Chicago is saturated with striptease, burlesque is facing the same problem that improv has in Chicago. If you've seen any, there's a good chance you've seen some that's pretty bad, which is a shame. But I'm hoping that this week's conversation with three burlesque producers will shed some light on what's really fun and inspiring about burlesque. We had so much to talk about that this is actually going to be a two-part episode, and the second half will be posted next month. Here's some of our conversation.
I'm Stella Cheeks, and I'm the producer of Plan 9 Burlesque.
I'm Ray Ray Sunshine, and I'm a burlesque costume designer, and I produce a live band burlesque show.
Called
Burlesco.
Thank you, Stella.
And this is Red Rum here. I am the co-producer of Pervesque Burlesque.
Do you guys, when did you first see burlesque in its modern form, like as an adult? Do you remember that at all?
I do. Who's going first?
You.
Okay, mine was really specific. I had no idea what it was at all. I had no clue. And I was doing artwork for bands, for like show posters, and they weren't paying any money. So I just Googled things in Chicago, like events, and found this word burlesque that was coming up and saw that they had artwork and posters and was like, that's a thing.
Do you have a background in designing lingerie, right? Isn't that?
I have a background in costume design for theater, and then I went back to school for fashion design and focused on lingerie. So that was what I wanted to do when I got out of that.
Redman?
Yeah, hey. It's so nice listening to other people's stories. We don't get to share this way often.
Like, I'm late.
so much I didn't know. Yeah. My background is in painting and drawing, and through that I got interested in filmmaking randomly. So my graduate thesis was a horror film, so I started doing a lot of video work. So people would hire me occasionally to tape concerts or shows or performances. And my friend, the Coffin Banger, who's a DJ, was putting on a big Halloween show, had me come and tape the performance. I saw burlesque and sideshow for the first time. So the first people I saw were Angela Eve and Maya Sinstress. So I was lucky to be introduced to it through the really extreme end of burlesque. And
extreme in what way?
Oh, not celebrating the glamour. It was more torture and blood. And Angela Eve was like hanging from the ceiling, and I had never seen anything like it. So it immediately piqued my interest. You know, I loved doing film and I loved costume and makeup, but it was so intense to depend on a huge cast and crew of people to make a movie. And I saw burlesque as an opportunity where I could do everything that I loved, and it was completely individual.
I had a very similar thing about the independence of it, because I was doing classical theater and I was working with directors. The problem with doing classical theater is it's free, so everyone wants to do it, and then you end up working with people who should never work in theater, and so I got burned out pretty hard. And then when I discovered burlesque, I was like, oh, I can kind of be my own creative director and my own boss. Like, you still have to work with other people and the people who are producing and putting on shows. But I was like, this will be independently driven. And I was really drawn to that as well.
I asked my guests if they have a favorite show or venue to perform in. No one had just one place that was their favorite, but Red Rum definitely prefers a certain type of audience.
But sometimes I like the shows that I like the most are the ones where I really don't belong.
Can you describe some of your numbers? You have a very particular style.
Oh, well, I think maybe a nice place to start is when I first started performing, I paint my face like a skeleton, for people who don't know who I am. But when I saw, even though horror-themed burlesque was a thing and heavy metal burlesque was a thing, one thing that I noticed is that a lot of the performers wouldn't necessarily change their face. They would still keep it, you know, an emphasis on beauty or sexy or whatever. And I thought, what's a way I can completely shift my identity and surprise people? So I started painting the skeleton face, and as a way to, it was like an extra layer of courage because it's like, hey, if I really suck, nobody's going to have any idea who I am.
Yeah, I've never seen you without makeup before today, so I actually wouldn't recognize you on the street. That was like, a great plan.
That's where the Lon Chaney of burlesque tagline comes in. Part of my struggle early on was people would want me to perform, but they would make requests like, oh, hey, can you do it but without the skeleton face? You know, as if they're at a dirty secret. And it was really wonderful to stick with, like, I knew it was important to corner a character. Mm-hmm. And I feel really achieved in the sense that I stuck with that theme, those themes of sex, death, and humor. Like, all of my characters kind of revolve around those themes. And eventually it won people over, this idea of Halloween year round, you know, it's like kind of commonly accepted now. So it's pretty cool. We did the Charles Manson piece at Untitled, and boy, was that rewarding.
What is the crowd like for Untitled?
River North. So it's not necessarily...
The traveling business people.
Right. It's not a lot of people who are like, I'm going to a burlesque show. They're like, I heard of this cool bar. Sometimes it has burlesque. So it's... Sometimes I feel like when I've performed there, and it's only been a couple times that it's like a surprise show almost sometimes, because you look in the audience, you see a couple of people who are like, what is happening right now? So it's more of like, like a fancy after work bar.
And it hires like some of the best performers in the city, which is really my favorite thing to do. My favorite thing about working there.
Yeah, it's a spectacular show. But it's to an audience that has never seen.
You kind of have to be on your A game.
Yeah.
I feel like burlesque and stand-up are like the hardest things because it's just you. It's just you up there alone. And in the same way that like bad stand-up is like the worst thing in the world to watch. Like, bad burlesque is, like, the worst thing in the world to watch.
I don't know.
I've never seen, for the record, listeners, I've never seen, like, anyone in this room do a number that made me, like, want to close my eyes or, like, look at my shoes. But I have seen those numbers before. And it's so, and it makes me, like, empathize, you know? It's just so, it's, like, a really brave thing. Stand-up and burlesque are extremely hard, I guess is what I want to say.
I think stand-up's got to be harder. Yeah. There's no way. That, like, sends chills up my spine. Just thinking about getting on a stage with my clothes on and they're not coming off in silence with a microphone.
Yeah, you don't have that to fall back on.
You don't be like, this is tanking, but I'm just going to take my shirt off. Though, I have to say, I do think there is a huge difference, and I don't know, and Red Rum, you touched on this earlier, I don't know if it's just because I come from theater, and I've been performing in some kind of aspect since I was, like, 9 years old. I can definitely see the people who, in burlesque, get on stage and have no, like, stage awareness. Mm-hmm. It's either because burlesque is a brave thing and you are taking your clothes off and it's a sexual thing and it is an empowering thing. I think sometimes people forget that it's also a performance. Like, you have to be there with the audience doing this, like, if you're in it 100% for yourself, then it's not going to be good because you didn't pay a ticket. They paid money for a ticket. Like, it's a back and forth between you and the audience, which sometimes I lose sometimes too because I'm just like, woo, I'm up here by myself. But I think having the theater background really, really helped me with that, being like, oh, this is about connection, especially since it's not a play. There's no fourth wall. I'm, like, looking at you and taking my top off. Which is, like, a really weird simplification of burlesque. It's not just me taking my top off. But it is, like, a hyper-connective art form that I sometimes feel is lost in the, like, buzzword of burlesque.
And a lot of people will come and dabble in it because there's something liberating and therapeutic and makes you feel independent, you know.
And sexy.
Or whatever. And sexy, totally. I felt like I never focus on the sexy parts.
But you make a pretty sexy Charles Manson.
Well, thank you. But one thing I am often opposed to is burlesque being a form of therapy for people. Like,
me too. I'm really, I could get on a soapbox about that. I don't like that either.
Yeah. I think there's a space to do it. That's why there's all those classes and student shows, and there's definitely a space for the empowerment, and it should be an empowering art form, but it's also a performance.
Right, and if your audience... doesn't have that window into your life and you're playing out these things that you want to work, these emotions that you want to work out, and they're real specific to you, you got to be so aware of your audience. I mean, those are always the train wreck situations that I've seen where I'm watching the performance and I just feel in pain for the person.
Are there other, like, just pure rookie mistakes for a burlesque performer?
Tags. I was going to say tags.
Stella just cut my tag out at a wedding. She just couldn't stand it.
Well, your dress was
see-through.
It was sheer.
I know. I appreciated it.
So we're talking about, like, tags on clothing. I also, in like, bits for Plan 9, have had tags forcefully cut out of my clothing. It's a big deal.
We talked a little bit about the hustle it takes, not just to be a freelance performer, but to also produce regular shows. And like any theater, producing burlesque is always a struggle to get butts in the seats.
You know, as a person on the production side, everyone thinks that burlesque sells out because everyone just wants to see naked girls. When the reality is, it is even harder to market than straight theater or comedy or anything else, because everyone thinks it's just going to be girls taking off their clothes. Why would I want to see? I could go to the internet for that. You know, it's really hard to convey the artistry and how cool and how clever and how funny it is.
That's, you know, one of the biggest struggles too. So many people, I work at the School of the Art Institute. It's my day job. And once in a while I get invited to do a little artist visiting artist talk, which is awesome. And when I talk to people about burlesque and here's the burlesque that I do, every single person comes up to me after and they say, I had no idea that's what burlesque was. Mm-hmm.
I always say this is, I mean, I've said it a million times, so it's probably on, like, other podcasts, because I'm like, this is my go-to soundbite. But I always say that people will go to a concert and not enjoy the band, but they won't say, like, ugh, I hate music. They're just like, I don't like that band. But if you go to one burlesque show and just happen to not like that burlesque show, you're just like, ugh, I've tried burlesque, not for me.
What is something that you thought about burlesque before you started that you realized was wrong afterwards? Or something you didn't know that you learned after you started?
That being sexy isn't really straightforward. That it can take lots of different turns and ideas, and it can be funny and it can be stupid, or it can be dirty. I think that I had some, like, preconceived, like, quote-unquote sexy idea of what that was before I really got into burlesque. And it can manifest in lots of different ways. I think your acts are super hot. And it's weird. And I love it. And I'm pointing at Red Realm. Should I do that? Because we're on microphone. Yeah. No, yeah, I don't know. I think that I just didn't understand what it was to, like, have sex appeal and really, like, voice that, you know, and kind of embrace the different ways that it can take. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay.
And there's a lot of sharing that goes back on backstage, which is great. Yeah. I feel like in other theaters that I've worked in, I've never had to be like, oh, I forgot this thing. Can somebody, because, you know, the costumes are already there, the makeup and stuff's there. But if I'm like, oh, I don't have pasty tape, or I forgot my pasties, can I borrow somebody's pasties?
That actually brings me to a question that someone asked me online. Someone wondered, this is the exact text of the question. How do you protect yourself against sequin chafing or other uncomfortable costume problems?
You just deal with it?
You don't.
You're ripping tape off your nipples and you just deal with it. Or you have, like, stocking, like, fishnet markings.
You're picking the latex off your face for the next 3 days.
Yeah. Just deal with it. That's theater, though.
I just have a bruise on my knee that's healing right now that is from fishnets. It was in the shape of fishnets, like a little diamond bruise where I went down on my knee real
hard.
When
me and Robbie did our wrestling act, I was wearing fishnets, and we do, like, a little bit of contact wrestling, and part of it is me going down to my knees, and then afterwards I just had, like, a little, like, rug burn in the shape of the stocking on my knees.
I don't know, I'm kind of proud of those, like, battle wounds. Right? Like, a day later, and you're like, why does my, like, undercarriage feel real weird? Oh, there's still some tape down there.
So I have a question. How do people in real life, how do people outside of burlesque react when they find out that you're a burlesque dancer?
Do you make money at that? Wow. That's probably the question.
Really?
I get that.
I never
had that question. People are always like, yeah, but what do you do for a living?
Oh, people are really nice. People that I say are usually, it's usually like old women, older women. And they're like, that's neat. What's that like? Or what's burlesque exactly? And I have to give them the like rote answer.
Oh, wow. I guess I've always been pretty forward with people. You know, I work in an art school, so it's never right. been something I've had to hide from my day job. It's a situation where the weirder you are, the better cool you are as an employee.
I'm really upfront with it in job situations. Like, I'm looking for jobs now, and I put it on my resume, A, because, like, a lot of the skills that I've learned as a producer are really applicable to a lot of things. And also, I just want to be like, this is a thing I do. I don't want you to find out in any, like, how weird would it be if you hired me and then 2 months later you were like, so I got to talk to you about something. I found out that your name online is Stella Cheeks. I mean, that's just weird. So I just put it out there.
So if someone is like, comes to the city of Chicago and was like, I know there's a burlesque scene here and I want in on it. What would you tell them? Should they just like put a number together? Like even if they, you know, don't have any dance experience or is it better to take a class or to like find a group or a show?
I would say number one, go see many different shows. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, me and Ray talk about this, and I'm sure you've come across this, Red Room, is people will email you and be like, hey, I want to be in your show. And you're like, have you ever seen my show? Yeah. Do you want it? A, you should know exactly who you're emailing, and B, like, mm-hmm. I'm not just going to hire you. Like,
they're always like, but it's really far away. I mean, I'm going to try to. And so, like, no.
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah, because your show's in Pilsen. But also, like, go see shows so you know if you don't have any background in burlesque or a background in theater, because there are a lot of people who don't. I know we all come from a theater background, but there are a lot of people who don't. Like, the three of us, we've all been in each other's shows, but all of our shows are very different. Like, you can get a feel for, like, oh, I want to be a classical burlesque dancer, or I kind of really like, you know, the burlesque style, or I think I'm going to take a little bit from each. And I feel like that's the way you learn to see where you can fit in this community, and then you can start to craft stuff. But I think just jumping in is foolish.
There's so much room in burlesque for everybody's skill set, you know, but I think, to everyone's point, going to see shows is the most important education you can get. You can take a couple classes and stuff, but think about what it is that you want, your style. What kind of stories do you want to tell?
Thanks for listening to part one of this episode. If you enjoyed it, be sure to tune in next month to hear the rest of the conversation. If you hated it, well, the next episode is something completely different. 2 weeks from now, I'll be sharing my interview with Cindy Castro, who's an actress and arts educator here in Chicago.
It's like an overwhelmingly large percentage of people value the arts. But then if you ask them if they value artists, the number is a lot lower. And so I feel like it's not that we don't value art. We obviously go to museums and we go see concerts and we value art, but I think there's a disconnect between what people assume an artist is and what art is. And I feel like there's this like constant like, well, why is this important? Well, you don't ever ask like, why is football important in the school?
If you have any questions, comments, or rants, you can tweet us at Spiel Chicago, that's SPIEL Chicago, or send us an email at spielchicago@gmail.com. See you at the theater.